listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Epiphanies in Slow Motion, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, January 6th, 2019.
Well, happy Epiphany to you. I had a little struggle with the word epiphany and with the story and how they went together. So I did what I do, and I got out some reference books. And according to Merriam-Webster, an epiphany is an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. It's usually sudden. It's a sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. It can be an intuitive grasp of reality through something usually simple and striking. It's an illumination, a discovery, a realization. Notice the element of suddenness, immediacy, and surprise wrapped up in those definitions. They fit our culture and our hunger and our need for surprise and suddenness and intuition. We like things that happen automatically. There are whole schools of psychology that are built on insight. You have an insight, and click, you're fixed. There are students who learn to believe that they don't need to slog through study, they just need to have a gift to see things suddenly. I don't mean to imply that those things don't happen, but they are not the whole epiphany. In this story of the wise people traveling from the east, I suppose that the sudden appearance of a star that they hadn't seen before could be that kind of automatic, immediate epiphany, or the star stopping over the place where Jesus was could be that kind of epiphany. But what strikes me most about this story, the story of the Magi, is that it is slow and unfolding. Now, it's a story that may not have happened exactly the way it is told. It may not be factual, but it also adds some truth to our understanding of who Jesus was. But it wasn't the flash of light and the change forever. It was the slow-moving kind of epiphany, lit up by particular flashes, but slowly moving towards more light. And I think it's a perfectly apt metaphor for every human journey, every long walk from birth through life. These Zoroastrian priests, that is what the word magi in the Greek means, however many there were, came from the east. No one knows how far east, or how long they traveled, or when exactly they arrived. But the gospel suggests that it was quite a distance, more than a few days' walk. Could have been weeks, could have been months. And for a journey like that, through inhospitable terrain and possibly unfriendly hosts, one must travel provisioned, with food and water, and possibly even security personnel. There would have been servants for making camp and preparing food, perhaps a scout who knew the safest routes and where to find water and game, and perhaps knew how to keep a weather eye out for sandstorms. They came all this long way, not just because they saw the one star at its arising, but because they connected that one star to ancient prophecy, which they had learned over many years of study. And they connected it to one poem in particular. It was a poem written for the Jews in around 580 BCE, and it was recorded in Isaiah 60. It was recited to Jews who had been in exile in Iraq for a couple of generations and had just come home to the city of Jerusalem. They were home, but they were in despair. Their city was in ruins, the towers all torn down, and the economy in pieces, and no one with any idea how to fix it. In the middle of this mess, an amazing poet arose, and he invited his depressed, discouraged friends to look up, to hope, and to expect things to change. Rise, shine, he wrote, for your light has come. The poet sees that Jerusalem is about to become a beehive of productivity and prosperity, a new center for international trade. Nations will come to your light, he wrote, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Caravans loaded with trade goods will come from Asia and bring prosperity. Celebrate. This is a promise from God, and God's promises are sure. The Magi, steeped in their own traditions and the writings of other traditions, connected the star with the prophecy of a new king and with this beautiful poetry of Isaiah 60. And they gathered all this information together and they thought, we have to go. We have to go and see this king. And when we go to Jerusalem, we should take rare spices, gold and frankincense and myrrh, just like it says in the text, to give as gifts to this promised new king, this king that's going to bring peace and prosperity. Well, when Herod got wind of all this, he was, of course, frightened. A new king who draws the attention of foreign dignitaries is not good news for an old king and his old order. Then a strange thing happened. Herod, in his panic, called all of the religious leaders together, and he arranged a consultation with them, and he said to them, tell me about Isaiah 60. What is all this business about camels and gold and frankincense and myrrh? And the scholars said to him, you've got the wrong text. And those wise guys outside your window, they've got the wrong text too. Isaiah 60 will mislead you because it says that Jerusalem will prosper and have great wealth and be restored as a center of global economy, of empire. In that scenario, the urban elites can recover their former power, and nothing will really change. Herod did not like this verdict, and he asked defiantly, well, do you have a better text? The scholars were afraid of the angry king, but they told him, through their trepidation, that the right text is from Micah 5, where the prophet wrote, but you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old. This is the voice of a peasant hope for a future, a voice that is not impressed with high towers and great arenas, banks and urban achievements of Jerusalem or any other city. It anticipates a different future. Micah anticipates a leader who will bring well-being not to the wealthy, but to the people, not by great political ambition, but by attentiveness to the folk on the ground. And then a miracle happens. Herod tells the Magi the truth. And in another miracle, in this slowly unfolding epiphany, they turn away from Jerusalem, newly splendid after Herod's building campaigns, and they go to Bethlehem, that rural, dusty place, unnoticed and unpretentious, 9 miles down the road. Just the place for the birth of one who will offer an alternative to the arrogance of urban power. And having turned, they are led again by the star to the very place where Jesus was. Having found him, they brought those gifts that they had carried all that way, gifts fit for a king. And after they had given them and prayed and paid homage, they did not go back to Herod in his seat of power. They went home by another way. And this, too, is the part of the revelation of something new. The vulnerability of Bethlehem disrupts the self-congratulation of Jerusalem. What does this old story, which may or may not have happened exactly the way Matthew recorded it, what does it have to do with us? This is a story of good news. The good news that the power that created all things has been in conversation with us ever since. Through the book of creation all around us at all times, through prophets and history and the giving of law and ritual to help human beings keep our faces turned toward God and toward one another in love and compassion. And in the fullness of time, God came in a particular way, in a particular human being, to keep the conversation with us going. The incarnation is part of the development of the way God speaks to humans. These magi, these wise guys, Zoroastrian priests, who had studied texts of another people, traveled slowly and laboriously over land to be part of that conversation. They knew the difference between debate and converse and conversing. Debate has the goal of one party convincing the other of the rightness of their argument. The goal of conversation is to make meaning together. It's important to note that you don't have to make the exact same meaning while you are in conversation, because the goal is to keep talking, to stay in relationship. So God came to earth in a particular way in Jesus to keep the conversation going with us. And the wise men, knowing partially, searching diligently, carried the conversation on. We too are called into slow-moving epiphany of conversation, sometimes full of luminescent moments of connection, bright stars guiding our way, and sometimes trudging along, pressing forward, staying connected. Steve Garnas Holmes, the pastor, put it beautifully this way. On the 12th day of Christmas, I feel the stretch. Presents unwrapped, put away, family gone, New Year's passed, resolutions already broken. And here we are, still counting days. That one bright night, angels and candles and all, was not a singular event, but a lasting truth. God, you are not just passing through. You are here for the long haul, for the chemo regime, the enduring grief, the extra years of school, the parenting that never ends, the long work of aging. Give us courage. Give us perseverance to last, to go the distance on the long road to wisdom, to healing, to justice, to joy. Help us trust that you are here all the way. Amen.